Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco, host of not only this podcast, but Eat It and Like It with Jesse Blanco. You can find that Sundays, 1230 WJCL here in the Savannah Hilton Head Market. We cover the food scene like no one else does. On the other end of the line is Margaret. We call her Maggie Crenshaw. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good for a Monday back from working vacation.
Yeah.
Last week, I think we spoke last week, didn't we? And I was in my bunker, and I was holed up in the foxhole, I think I called it.
You looked like you were having an amazing time, even though I know you did work, but I know that you had a fabulous time with your family.
Yeah, it was good. We go down every year, and the interesting thing about this particular trip to the beach, we go the 4th of July, which is not ideal to go to the beach really anywhere in the South or anywhere in America, really, the week of the 4th of July.
100%, I agree.
But the reason why we do it is because my wife works for the school system, and she gets they are all given the week of the 4th of July off without using vacation time.
Excellent.
So it has become, since they went to that policy, I don't know, however many years ago, it doesn't matter. We started shifting. We would usually go mid-late June before the back-to-school crowd, just-out-of-school crowd, would start piling up down on the beach in Florida. But the last, easily before COVID, 5 or 6 years, we've been going the week of the 4th of July, and I generally don't care about crowds because I stay in and around our condo and I don't do much. I go to the beach and I come back and I swim in our pool and I go upstairs and I grill whatever I'm making for dinner, and there's not a whole lot of dealing with the 2 hour waits for a table. I don't do that. But this year was very crowded. This year was very crowded. The places that I usually go to grab a this or a that were a little more crowded. You get used to it after a while, but it was a little more crowded than normal. And I'm looking around going, where did all of you people come from? Get out of here. Do you like P.F. Chang's?
I mean, no. We don't have one here, and that's not a thing. Like, when I'm in an area that has one that I go to, I think I've been to a P.F. Chang's once. I think I was somewhere with somebody, and they were like, oh my gosh, we have to go to P.F. Chang's. And I was like, oh goody, okay. And no. It just wasn't all that to me. But I don't typically tend to love chain restaurants either. So.
Yeah, and you don't ever hear me talk about them. I bring it up because, I was down at the beach for a week by myself. So there wasn't a whole lot of cooking. There was a lot of crackers and cheese and hot dogs. But, by the time I got toward the end of the week, I'm like, okay, I need to eat some real food or I'm going to lose my mind. And there's a P.F. Chang's near us down there. And I used to love P.F. Chang's. Let me back up on that. I did. When I lived in Nashville 20 or so years ago, I used to love P.F. Chang's, and I'd go, I wouldn't call it regularly, but if I wanted a quick to go or whatever, I would, when I was working and driving around in a news car, I'd grab some P.F. Chang's and take it back to the newsroom and eat it there. And so it was in my repertoire, if you will. This was long before I was, long before I was writing about food, long before any of this stuff. I did appreciate good food, but I also appreciated quick food. And so I would do that. So with that whole setup in mind, I decided last 2 weeks ago, I'm going to go grab some takeout at P.F. Chang's for old time's sake and whatever. Well, let me tell you, I about bugged out. I got Mongolian beef, which came with a side of steamed rice, which we know steamed rice is about 4 cents in cost. But it was a modest serving of Mongolian beef. It would have barely served two people. Uh-huh. And it was $25.
And, wow.
And with tax, you know, and then the kid flips the iPad around and they want a tip on that, on top of that, at the takeout window, and I get it. But it pushed $30 for a measly portion, really, of Mongolian beef and some steamed rice. And I got it back to the condo and I'm like, this just isn't what it used to be. I remember when it was 17, 18, 19, and I get it, everything has gone up. Not everything is going to be the same price as 20 years ago. But my goodness, $25 for that. And as I, unfortunately, I have broken up with P.F. Chang's, which, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's all right. Where should I send the condolence card?
You know, send it to Joey Chang. I don't know. Or I send it to him because, you know, like you, I don't do a lot of chains. I certainly don't talk about a lot of chains. But this was kind of weird in that I used to do it fairly right. Back then, I used to do it maybe three times a year. And I haven't done it probably in over a decade. And when I finally do it, it's like either my palate's gone off the rails, you know, in a different direction, or this just isn't what it used to be. And I think it's a little of both, but that's life.
Well, yeah. But, you know, since the pandemic began, food prices have gone up by 35%.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't mean retail. I mean groceries. Groceries have gone up 35%.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I buy them regularly. I know. Yesterday, yeah. I bought some cocoa powder and it was $7. I'm like, really? But anywho, it is what it is. You won't find me at P.F. Chang's anytime soon. That's life. Womp womp. I'm going to have to find some Asian eats down that way where I go, because I'm planning to go back. Well, the last thing I'll say about the beach is that it's funny. I had been there a week by myself working. Then my family rolled in. They were there for 8 days, I believe, whatever it was. And by the end, I was ready to come home and get back to a lot of projects that I have piled up here. But I was also looking out the window going, okay, you need to come back and you need to do some work here. Like, mm-hmm. Do what I do down there for my other projects that I'm working on. But anyway, all that to say, the last couple of days, I had one eye out the window looking at the calendar going, okay, when can I come back? When can I come back? When can I come back? And when I was leaving, I saw one of the maintenance guys, and he said, hey, Mr. Blanco, we're going to see you in October. I'm like, probably sooner than that. Probably sooner than that. So anyway, enough about all that. We'll talk about that when and if the time comes. How was your weekend? Your play is underway, yeah?
My play is underway. We opened on Friday night. We had a show Saturday night, and we had a matinee yesterday. And I'll have to say, by Sunday matinee yesterday, I finally just feel locked in. I feel locked into the show. So we have a break here until our next performance on Friday night, so I'm super grateful to get a little time off from that. Anybody who is involved in theater knows that when you get down to the wire with tech rehearsals and moving into opening night, it's kind of it's not 24/7, but it's a constant, like everything in your life is pushed aside just to get the show up. And being on the board as well as of Seaglass Stage Company, you know, I had my duties, you know, in order to get the front of house ready and concessions and, you know, cleaning the theater and get, you know, all the other things that, so needless to say, I'm super excited for today. I'm gonna go back to the regularly scheduled programming that used to be before all this theater stuff happened.
Yeah, but you get to do it all again next week. You said, yes. By Sunday matinee you were locked in. Okay, well, just in time, yes. For 4 days off. Is that kind of the rhythm when you do only weekend shows? You kind of ramp up to great shows, it feels great, and then you got to stop, so you lose your momentum.
No, I'll be back there on Friday night. I just meant, you know, Friday comes with a little bit of extra nerves because it's the first time you have an audience. It doesn't bother me that much because it's just like going to the office. It's going to work. It's just that now at work you have a lot of people looking at you. So, you know, you have to get kind of over that hump. And then Saturday night is typically a little bit of a letdown. You have a little lower energy just because, you know, you've excuse the expression, but you've popped your cherry the night before, so you're kind of exhausted. But then by Sunday, you know, you're in a nice rhythm. And no, that way I won't have to start all over again. It's just a like how I felt about my place of where I was in the discovery of my character and the discovery of things happening interpersonally, relationship-wise on stage. And now from here, we just get to play with it and have fun.
Well, that's about all you can ask for, right? It's called the Great Yes. American Trailer Park at the Coligny Theater, yes?
Yes, yes. So we have three more weekends. You've got nine more chances to see us. Friday and Saturday evening, Sunday matinees until July 28th.
Very good, very good. So you you had a celebratory dinner over the weekend, I think it was. Was it celebratory?
I did. So my daughter came home from Charleston to see the matinee yesterday, and we were really jonesing for some hinoki, but we forgot that they were closed on Sunday nights. So we shifted gears quickly, changed our idea to Chez George. It had been some time since I'd been there. We both love French food, and I'm so glad we did that. It was a really nice dining experience. It was really, they knocked it out of the park all around. And we had an early reservation, like 5:30, because of the matinee, and I eat very lightly before a show, so I was starving. I was ready for, like, food, and so it was a really nice experience. Great server. Shout out to Michelle. She was fantastic.
Hi, Michelle.
What'd
you eat?
George isn't there on Sundays. It's family day, so I didn't get to see George, but I did contact him and let him know we had a great time. So we ordered the escargot, of course. You can't go to a French restaurant without having the escargot. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before with escargot. The traditional escargot in the butter and garlic, you know, that everybody is so used of, I haven't had it in a couple of years. These restaurants are doing different things now with escargot, and I'd love to know why. I'd love to talk to George about this. We enjoyed what we had, but it was so different. And I don't know, have you ever had escargot done? It was kind of more of a creamy, cheesy profile, and the little creamy kind of garlicky, cheesy sauce spread really nicely on top of the little slices of baguette they gave you, and it was delicious. Don't get me wrong, delicious, but it wasn't, I didn't read the profile on the menu. You know, I just said, oh, we have to have escargot. Bring us some escargot. So it was interesting. I was pleasantly surprised.
That sounds sounds like something I've had. I might have even had it there. Yeah, I think so. I don't recall. It's been a minute since I've been to Chez George, at least for dinner. It's been I'm almost embarrassed to say 2 years, but yeah, I think.
Well, you and I went that time. He invited us to the wine dinner.
That's right. That's right. That was December.
9 months ago. Yeah, something like that.
In the fall. That's true. I was there for that. Yeah, before that, I had dinner there with a mutual friend of ours, and I think we ate 80% of the menu. Yeah. Yeah, we ate it all. That was just insanity. But, I saw your pictures on Facebook. Were there steak frites involved?
There was steak frites involved. The server had me sold on the poisson du jour was red snapper in kind of a lemon butter caper profile with, I can't remember now, but it was, I was going to order that. I really was. Like, I was like dead set from the minute she said, this is what the, you know, this is what the poisson du jour is. And then she went away and she gave us a minute. And I said to Ellery, you know, if I get that fish, I'm going to eat the whole thing. If I get the steak free, I'll only eat half. And then we can have steak and eggs in the morning. And she was like, ooh, let's do that. So I changed my mind and I did the I did the steak frites. But when I ordered steak frites, she said, now we also have a filet au poivre. And I said, ooh, au poivre. I think you know how much I love au poivre.
Yes.
But I prefer a ribeye over a filet. So after a little chit-chat, I was like, well, can he just au poivre my ribeye? Would that be offensive? Could he do that? And she was like, oh, yeah, sure. So they did my steak frites ribeye a la au poivre, and it was delicious. For anybody who doesn't know, au poivre is a peppercorn, sometimes with cream sauce. This particular au poivre did not have cream in it, which I appreciated because I, you know, need to be doing things a little on the lighter side.
Watching your girlish figure.
Yeah, so, you know, I order medium rare, and I said to her, it cannot be any more than medium rare. And she was like, yeah, no problem. These guys are, you know, spot on. And that steak came out exactly medium rare, and it was perfect. Ellery ordered mussels, and their mussels, some folks probably that order mussels tend to, the flavor profile that typically comes out is going to kind of be like a garlicky, brothy, creamy, delicious, fabulous sauce that you can dip your bread in. Their mussels are curried with lemongrass and coconut milk, and Ellery likes, you know, that kind of profile, so she ordered it, and it came in this, I don't even know what it was, I should have Googled it. It came in this cool, like, metal hammered copper kind of pot thing with a lid on it, and the fellow that brought it out, really nice presentation, set it down in front of her, took the lid off, explained to her that the shell should be discarded into the top of the vessel, very good. It was so good that we asked to take the juice home, and I'm going to do something with it today. I'm going to do a chicken and pepper kind of thing and serve it over some jasmine rice for our dinner tonight.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah. And then they had rattled off a list of fabulous desserts that we couldn't decide, but I mean, you know, we had to have desserts. So I don't think I've had crepe Suzette in 2 or 3 decades anywhere. And I figured if anybody could do it well, it would be them. And it was very good. It was orange with, it was a la mode. And so we shared that, and that was very nice, very homemade, very, very fresh and not, you know, seeming like it was a package kind of thing. It was very good. And they gave us a complimentary little, cute little glass of Sauternes, little dessert wine afterwards.
Well, I bet you rolled out of there, huh?
Well, I only ate half of everything. You know, I do good. We were full. but I wasn't rolling.
No rolling. Rolling. Well, that's good. That's good. Ooh. It sounds like another stellar experience. I've never had anything but at Shea George. They
knock it out of the park. The service is unreal.
Would you qualify Shea George as hidden gem?
Yes and no. Yes, being that it's not the typical go-to for the summer crowd that's looking for the seafoody with a view kind of thing that's big and marketed and
one of seven menus. That's my running joke with chefs. You know the deal. One of seven menus on the island.
Yeah, exactly. And then sort of not, because like if people who are coming to the island really are looking for ethnicities and they Google French, Chez Georges will be right up at the top of the list. So
Yeah, I agree with your assessment of kind of yes and no. I think the people who appreciate the finest dining on the island know about it already, and it's the people who come. I had to catch myself there. I was going to say something not very nice, but the people who come, in search of, like we said, one of seven menus. You know, and their grouper casino and all of that stuff, who want to step out of their comfort level for a minute usually ask around, and some of them, I bet, end up at Shea George because it is deserving of the word of mouth that it gets. You agree?
Completely agree.
Yeah.
I just think they're a class act. excuse me. We walked in the front door, and the hostess was standing there, and she held up a sign. And, you know, I don't see very well, so I thought, oh, my goodness, did they have to shut down unexpectedly? What's going on? Why is there a sign? But the sign said, "Bonjour, I am sorry, but I have lost my voice. Welcome to Chez Georges. What is your name, and I will show you to your table." It was the cutest thing.
That's straight out of Love, like, Actually.
It was so cute. Exactly. I was like, oh, my goodness, how did you lose your voice? And she nodded her head like she didn't know. And I said, have you been yelling at your husband again? And she was like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Very, very funny.
Very cute.
Very funny. Well, I paid a visit to a couple of weeks ago now, I will call it a hidden gem. It's a coffee roaster on the island, and they have a nice following, so I don't know that it's this big secret, but Hilton Head Island Coffee Roasters, I believe it's off of, is it Cardinal Road that's over by where the distillery is? Is that the street that's back there? Yeah, they were back there.
Yeah, Cardinal Hunter Road.
Yeah, over by the airport. And I met the lovely couple that decided when they moved down here from Washington, D.C., that there weren't enough coffee roasters. You know, they knew about Corner Perk, and they know about the Grind in Bluffton. And, yeah, we have coffee beans being roasted. She said, we used to live in San Diego, and there were, like, coffee roasters every other corner. And we thought that, you know, there are people doing different styles and different things. And so they decided they were going to go for it. And they have a little, have you ever been in there, that little coffee shop they have?
I have not.
It's a tiny, I would guess they have 8 seats and a little coffee counter where they'll make you a cup of coffee. And then right back there in the back of the same room, there's no wall, there's no window, there's no nothing, is the one coffee roaster that they roast their beans. And they decided to do the sitting area because they're in there roasting and selling wholesale and farmers markets and all of that stuff. And they'd have people come and knock on the window. Hey, can I get a cup of coffee? And so they were like, you know what? People are going to keep coming. They went from 10 hours a week, I believe, up to 20 hours a week. And they're growing their little niche. And when I visited with them, they gave me 2 bags of coffee. One of them, it's interesting. They asked me, what do you drink? I said, I drink espresso every morning, double espresso, splash of milk. And I used to do Splenda, but now I'm doing honey. But they said, okay, here, take this one. We don't do dark roasts, traditional dark roasts, but we do a darker roast. And I absolutely loved it. And I forget the name of it. It'll be on the website, eatandlikeit.com. But then they handed me another one that tastes like summer, they said. I think it was called Summer Fling. And I like it. I'm actually drinking it now. I like it, but I don't love it. It's a softer profile, but it tastes like summer.
That's so interesting.
It is interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I wanted to give them a quick shout out. We featured them on the TV show a couple of weeks ago, and I think they're doing a nice job. Their branding is in order. It's beautiful packaging. It's a really cute little space. They're energetic. They have one little helper, young lady, that's there helping them. You know, like I said, we all know about Corner Perk, and we know about what they're doing at the Grind, but this is different. It's nice. It's options are always good. I think options, you know, try for something different. You don't have to go to these other places if you're down in that Cardinal Road area. Pop in for a cup of coffee, usually mornings. They don't open in the afternoon all that much. So
and you can buy their beans.
Yep. Yeah.
Package.
They are available for sale at different spots around the island, including a place we talked about, I believe last week. Didn't we talk about Odd Birds last week?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was heading out the door right after we spoke to go check it out, and I got sidetracked, and I never made it by. So I'll have to put that back on the list for this week.
Yeah, they do Odd Birds at Wexford, Odd Bird Bakes. carries their beans, and I'm sure other places around the island do. But yeah, look them up, Hilton Head. Just Google Hilton Head Island Coffee Roasters, and you'll find them. It's a really, really neat little corner of your lovely island.
Well, all right. I will check that out.
Very good. Well, if we are cruising your lovely island in search of a place to live, where do we find you?
You can find me at the Kaiser Jatan team at eXp Realty, and just type in margaretcrenshaw.com, and that will take you to our website. My complete profile is there with my contact information, and I'd be happy to help you find a home.
Very good. We will do so. 3 weeks left for 3 weekends left for the play. It's called the Great American Trailer Park, right?
Great American Trailer Park musical.
Ah, okay. It's a musical. It's a musical. It'll run through the end of July. It's over at Caligny Theater, which is in Caligny Plaza, which is off of Caligny Circle.
It's the busiest area of the island right now.
Yes, it sure is.
But don't let that stop you from coming by.
And go grab a biscuit from Bad Biscuit while you're at it. That'll make
your
day. Oh my
gosh, yes. And get some ice cream from, I can't choose which one to plug, so I'll say both. The Frozen Moo, right next door to Caligny Theater, has amazing 750,000 flavors. No, I'm kidding. It's 72 flavors. And then the ice cream cone, which is a little bit across the way from the Caligny Theater, has very good ice cream. And they've been here since day one of Caligny Plaza.
And soft serve at Rita's.
And there's soft serve at Rita's. And amazingly enough, 3 ice cream places in 1 plaza, and they're all killing it.
Well, I'm sure this time of the year, so... I will save my ice cream story for next week because I do have one. If you saw my post on social media, you know what I'm going to talk about, but we'll discuss that next week. What do you say?
Okay. Well, that sounds exciting.
That's your homework assignment. Find some ice cream. Ignore your girlish figure for a morning and or an afternoon and have some ice cream and we can discuss next week.
Okay. That's a plan, Stan.
All right. Let's get out of here. You have a wonderful week and we'll talk soon.
You too. Have a great week.
Bye.